Welcome to the Three Kings Podcast, the one place where real men have real conversations, but from a kingdom point of view. With your hosts, Rob B-Free Badgett, Will Big Steel Wells, and Rob Resurrect Connolly. Sit back, tune in, and let the King speak.
Edition of the Three Kings Podcast.
Yeah.
We are in the building.
In the building.
Your boys Big Steel.
Yo.
Be Free. Resurrect is on hiatus?
Possibly.
Where is he? Do you know where he is?
He's on the highway coming from a pastor's meeting or whatever he does. Captain Crunch meeting. With his bowl of cereal.
He had a little post on his social media page. On the page, it was showing him and some of his buddies out to Chick-fil-A.
Yay.
I was like, that's cool.
Way to enforce that stereotype. Black guys eating fried chicken.
So well, nice. He was the only black guy in the picture, actually.
Oh, well, yeah. So, there you go.
Not really
black
sure
guys eating chicken.
How that fits in.
Well, he's a black guy eating
so
fried chicken.
So, this episode here should definitely be airing on Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everybody out there. So did you get your Christmas shopping all together?
All done. All done online. All done. Everything done.
You did it all online?
Everything I did online. Absolutely.
Online as well.
Did you?
And I am super excited.
Aren't you excited? You don't have to be around a bunch of crazy people.
I
crazy
hate
people on the road.
It with a passion.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. But thank God be to glory that...
glory.
My son did something different this year.
What did he do?
He actually texted me and he was like, "Hey, Dad, what do you want for Christmas?"
No way.
Yes.
I was my kids like, never asked me that.
No, like it was like a first. I was like, "For real?"
Wow.
He was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Dude, a shirt or some cologne?"
A shirt or cologne. Classic answer.
I was totally stunned.
What are you, 60?
What?
What are you, 60 years old?
What,
a shirt of cologne,
what
son.
What would you tell your children to get you?
Gift card to New England Comics.
See?
Or Amazon or something.
Yeah, so my 15-year-old son, chances are he doesn't know where to get a Amazon gift card from.
Oh, I see.
So that's not going to happen.
Okay.
But I was thinking today, man. I was like, yo, I didn't realize how, in the past, how depressing holidays were for me.
Yeah.
Like that season was just like, it was bad. And I had shared something out in a post about, you know, I think it was up to the year 2012 where, you know, for me, I just got a bunch of VHS tapes that nobody wanted to watch. That was like a common gift.
You got a trove of VHS tapes?
Yes. But they were like, they were like, this is in my adult life.
Yeah, you said 2012, of course.
Yes. But
what movies did you get? What are the top five movies in the box?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah.
The Flamingo Kid.
The Flamingo Kid. That's so old.
The Flamingo Kid. The other one, the entire series collection of Mission Impossible.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I surely watched that.
Oh, my gosh.
I surely watched that.
Wow.
Wow. And there was another one. The only one that I think I kind of wanted was Braveheart. But that was a VHS.
Oh, my gosh.
But 2012,
yeah,
nobody still was watching VHS tapes.
Was this a joke gift? Like, I'm just playing.
Nope.
Really? Because
that was the only thing I opened on Christmas. Yep. That was it.
That's so insane.
That was,
oh my gosh, that's so bad.
That was it.
I'm sorry.
I got so.
Oh man, that's terrible.
And it was some years of that, man.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yo, great. We know that Christmas obviously has greater meaning.
Of course.
Right?
Absolutely.
Even though, in case you didn't know, December 25th is not Jesus's birthday.
It's not.
You know?
It's not. It's not really his birthday.
What is your philosophy, though, around that, though? Like, what are your thoughts
on Christmas?
Christmas.
I don't mind
Western point of view.
I don't mind Christmas. I mean, I get what they're trying to do. I get that this is the day they want to choose to celebrate the birth of Christ. I get that. And that's fine. I am more of a history guy. Yeah. So, I mean, even though he wasn't born in December, I don't mind them picking December as his birthday and getting behind the meaning of why we celebrate this day, right, you know, that's coming up. As long as the meeting is fruitful and we understand what it is and we interpret it the way we're supposed to as Christians, then I don't have a problem with it.
Do you think we overdo it sometimes with the mindset of, like we do with Halloween? It's a pagan day. You know, trees were used for burnt offering, sacrifices of humans.
Trick or trunk, churches are having Hallelujah night,
you know,
blah,
and
blah, blah.
I don't know, man. I feel like, you know, I think it's okay if you have a specific position where you feel like, oh, if I celebrate this, you know, I don't feel like it's connected to the root of the culture, right? I get right. it.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is, though, is that we miss over the love part. Like, it's
right.
it's an opportunity
sure.
to share love with your family,
mm-hmm.
to share new traditions and culture.
True.
And if you're not doing this any other time out of the year, mm-hmm. at least you can do it one day.
Well, even with Halloween, trick-or-treating was based off a Christian tradition.
Was it?
Christians going door-to-door and handing out like little candies and preaching the gospel to families at, you know, at the doors of their households on Halloween.
Mm.
That's based off a Christian tradition.
No, and that's the thing, man. I feel like we do a great job of like just making some basic stuff complicated.
Sure, yeah.
Like, it's not idol worship, you know.
Right.
While I do believe the overwhelming images of capitalism and me, my.
Absolutely.
You have to balance that. Like,
yes.
you can't get... Listen, if nothing's under the tree, okay. If then nothing's under it. And you couldn't do it and you figured out some other way to show your love and support, that's cool.
And how do you react if nothing's under the tree?
Yeah.
You know, how do you take that? You know, right. as a kid, you understand how a kid would take it.
So for me, going you know back I mean? To my VHS tapes, I took it personal.
Yeah. Of course I would take it personally.
Why would you take it personally?
Because it's VHS tapes. Who has a VCR in 2012? I didn't have a VCR in 2012. Get out of here, man.
I didn't have one. I felt Please. Like, my thing is like, I felt like, yo, you're purposely doing this, like,
yes,
to Big you time. Know trigger something.
Absolutely,
because the response was was like, "Oh, well, you're not grateful," and I'm like, "This is like a smack in the face. This like you could have just did nothing."
Whoever you know? Gave you that gift wanted you to have a Grinch moment.
Listen,
in front of everybody,
listen.
And throw you in jail.
Oh, this person was good at it. They were good.
She's like, I'm going to get this and make sure he goes to prison today.
Brother, listen, you were constantly testing my gangster.
Oh, my
And
gosh.
I was like, yo, every Christmas for those years, I would get up depressed. Like, granted, it was not about the gift, but I want to feel like, yo, you care enough about me to
That's
consider
so
me. On some capacity.
That is so wrong.
You know, even if, you know, most men, if you want to, if you wake me up on Christmas morning in a happy, special way,
sure.
that's going to turn me into the nice little mood.
Absolutely.
You put some thought into that.
Before the children wake up.
Before the children wake
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. Why
you
not?
You know, you unwrap the Christmas stocking.
Yep.
I can deal with that. But when it's like, yo, no, I didn't. I'm just like, yo, that set the tone. So I felt like that was kind of the opposite of like, yo, we're trying to create something out of love,
yeah.
out of family, out of tradition.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because we, listen, granted, neither one of our parents were millionaires.
Heck
you
no.
know what I mean? So they did the best of what they had.
Absolutely.
Right?
My parents struggled just like your parents struggled.
Right.
That's just how it was back
Right.
then.
But you knew, like, yo, my parents care about me.
Absolutely.
My parents
100%.
Love me. You know 100%. What I'm saying? So yep. it's a balance for me. Like, mm-hmm. I just now feel like, well, maybe last year. No, probably the last 6 years. I think, yo,
the last 6 years.
Like
you
my
felt
view
it.
Of the holiday seasons has really changed.
That's good.
And you know, it's been a good holiday season.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling good. One of the things though that's heavy in this holiday season.
What is it?
Which you and I have been talking about a lot is just like it's kind of not so much Christmas, but the reality of Christians and how we're showing up in the world, right?
Yes.
How we're responding to situations. We talked about that before.
Right, right.
But right now, in Christmas season, Donald Trump is being impeached.
He is.
Or he has been impeached.
He's been impeached.
What are your thoughts about this?
I think it's pointless now. I mean, the Republicans are still going to control the vote. So he's still not going to go anywhere.
Mm.
I mean, even if he's impeached, you still have Mike Pence. You want Mike Pence as your president? I mean, that's what you really want. But it just kills me how these so-called Christian evangelicals, and it's usually the white Christian evangelicals who back this guy up and say all this ridiculous nonsense about somebody who's been allegedly accused of so many heinous crimes and assaults against people and stuff like that. And, you know, you take somebody like this man, and I just think it's a shame that you have Christians backing him up, saying that he's a prophet, saying that he's ordained by God to be in his office, saying all types of stuff just to keep votes and keep the Republicans happy and to keep money in their pocket. I just don't like that at all.
There's something I want to read to you. Mm-hmm. And it was an article on the Christian Post.
Oh.
ChristianPost.com.
Of course.
And it says, why it is wise for Christians to support President Trump.
Please.
Right? So Christians, Christmas, Christians. This is your Christmas message.
Tell me why. Why is it important?
And this is a long article, so I'm just going to skim through some of the high points.
There you go.
Now, again, like you said, we've been divided on this issue.
Big time. Body of Christians are divided when it comes to Donald Trump. Absolutely.
Before I read the article, why do you feel like we're so divided?
Because I feel like it's more of a race issue than anything. Mm. Most of the evangelicals who are voting for Trump or supporting Trump are white evangelicals. They're not black evangelicals.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Here's some of the things that this article says. President Trump is a leader. Mm-hmm. He fights for principles and policies we hold dear as his constituents.
Mm.
Our president is vibrant and strong.
Nice.
Which is exactly what America needs nationally and internationally.
Okay.
National security is obviously strong under this president's watch. Mm. This includes the security of missionaries and religious minorities around the world. President Trump has fought to protect our country from the possibility of another 9/11.
Really?
With stronger immigration policies.
Ooh. Wow.
With support from the president and vice president, evangelical advisors have served on the border and have encouraged churches to bring hope and healing to refugees.
What are these advisors telling this dude?
They're telling
that's what I want to know.
To shoot immigrants.
Yeah. Oh, let's imprison everyone who comes over to this country illegally. Yeah, that's smart.
President Trump has
nice Christian thing to do.
President Trump has been steadfast and unrelenting in his fight against socialism and ideology, which result in massive...
You said ideology?
Ideology. It should have been ideology.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. It
should have been
ideology. Why not? Why not?
But this is the part I want to get to.
Uh-oh.
Among those in his administration in the White House, there are many Bible-believing Christians, beginning with Vice President Mike Pence and including cabinet members like Secretary Pompeo, Secretary Costa, and others. These are bright, caring public servants who work for the president and practice their faith with their highest integrity.
Wow.
And with a commitment to the issues that matter to Americans. This is a tribute to President Trump's ability to lead and commitment to conservative values.
I see. Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot to take in.
Do you feel like, what was the question you had asked? The shaping the culture thing part, blah, 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 blah.
My question was, is the Bible influencing the culture or is the culture influencing the Bible?
What do you think?
I think it goes both ways, depending on where you are and, you know, what type of crowd you have. Some churches allow the culture to influence the way they do things as Christians are supposed to do, and some churches do things the way the Bible is supposed to be done. You know what I mean? Mm. I mean, that's just, it's not everybody. You know, there are just some people who are, you know, more open to doing things the world wants them to do things because they don't want the backlash. They want as many members as possible, and they want money in their pockets.
Did you vote for Donald Trump?
No, I did not. Heck no.
You believe he should be impeached?
Yeah.
And pushed out of office?
I do. If this was three years ago, 1 year ago.
You don't think, though, they're trying to do this, though, to make sure he doesn't get in for a second term?
I mean, sure, but once again, even if he's impeached, but when he goes before the House, who's controlling the votes to really impeach him? It's still going to be a Republican. It's going to come down to Republicans. No Republican is going against them.
Mm.
Nobody's vote. No Republican is voting against them in the House.
Nobody. This is true. I think it's just like, man, I feel like as far as faith goes, like this is one of the times that I really see like the body divided, and it hasn't ended yet. It hasn't ended, and it's just moments like this where you see, like, even with this Christian post, I heard a pastor say the other day, he's like, I don't call myself a Christian. I call myself a follower of Christ because the tag and the title of Christian alone is just like, well, you're one of those. You know, you're one of those people.
Sure.
And so around this time, we also think about the miracles of Christ, right?
Correct.
I was just reading. Did you hear about the lady or the family that lost their 2-year-old daughter?
No.
You didn't hear about that?
No, what happened?
So the lady, I think the little girl was 2 years old. If she wasn't two, you're not staying corrected.
Okay.
But they are members of Bethel Church in Reading.
Ah, right.
And
sure.
So they've been praying. So here's what happened. She posted a post on her Instagram, and she said on there, "We are praying for our daughter to be resurrected. Our daughter's 2 years old. She has died. And she's in the morgue, but we're praying that the Lord would raise her up, right? That God would raise her up. Not later, but now. Not on the great ascension and resurrection.
Not like 15 minutes after her heart stopped beating, but
still, now she's still in the morgue.
But now she's in the morgue.
She's still in the morgue.
I see.
And so this went viral.
Ah,
it went viral because, why do you think it went viral?
Because there were Christians who thought this was preposterous?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They were like, what is this? This is bad theology. This is all those other super religious words.
So having faith and believing in the miraculous, that's bad theology.
So I just, so Bill Johnson, who I believe, if he's not still the lead pastor, he's definitely the founding pastor of Bethel Church in Reading. He did a video. I don't ever see this dude do video responses. He did a video response press release saying, listen, but it was so simple what he said. He's like, listen, we are praying in accordance with scripture where Jesus obviously raised Lazarus. And then there's another part that he quotes. He was like, we don't have the power to resurrect anybody.
We don't.
But we have decided to stand with the prayers of this mother and this father who lost their 2-year-old daughter.
Still
he said, now, let me be clear. He said, the little girl is not at their home in the bed and we're standing around her.
Right.
You know, all weird. He's like, we're not doing that. He said, no. She's in the morgue.
It's like people think that they took this kid and just brought her back home and this, you know, as a, just a shell of herself, and they're just all laying hands and praying around her
right.
while she's dead.
Right.
But she's still in the morgue.
He said, he's like, listen, he said, to be honest, all we've been doing is worshiping and praying and allowing heaven to respond. He's like, that's really it.
Sure.
But I was just like, man. So not only do we now question the miraculous, but you can't even stand with a family who is grieving.
Right.
And just say, we'll say like Lord's will be done. But then I start to tag what I want the Lord's will to be. Then now there's a problem. Mm-hmm. God, I want you to heal this person.
Right.
We'll pray for healing. But then suddenly when they get to this point that they're gone, well, now the prayer stopped. No, he said also, he was like, listen, we pray fervently. We pray without ceasing.
Right.
Right. There's been cases like even with your boy Doc Hahn, where his heart stopped.
Yes, literally died.
He died.
He did.
He died
on the table.
On the table.
Absolutely.
And he came back.
Came back to life.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like I've seen it. I've seen several people.
Sure.
Family members who literally died. Mm-hmm. Like yo, come in and say goodbyes, and then we stopped praying, and guess what? They are still here today.
I remember when my mother passed. We were in the hospital and we watched her take her last breath when we took her off life support.
Mm.
I mean, I knew that week she was going to die.
Really?
I knew she was going to pass.
Did you?
I just knew it. But I still held out hope that God would somehow work a miracle where she would wake up out of this coma and come back to us. So even after she took her last breath, I was still praying on her bedside. Mm. When you heard that flat line, I was still praying. And hoping and just like, God, just wake her up.
How did you feel?
Praying and wake her up. And she never woke up.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how would you feel if somebody said, well, just let it go?
No. And back then, you couldn't say that to me at that time.
Really?
In that hospital room. As emotional as I was.
Yeah.
And that's why nobody said it. And God made sure nobody
said it. Were you saying it out loud when it was happening?
I was just kind of praying it low.
Yeah.
And in my head, but I wasn't like shouting it or screaming it, you know, but I was really, really praying. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then but that was the first time actually that I was in such a state where I was starting to speak in tongues for the first time.
Really?
I never spoken in tongues ever until that week because I was I was praying so much, like more than ever. And I was so spiritually in tune with what God was telling me.
Wow.
That that was the first time where I was speaking in tongues.
See, that messes up people's theology.
It was so crazy.
See? Like, it was so crazy. That messes up your theology. It was
so crazy, yeah.
Because it wasn't, you know, you weren't in church.
Nope.
You know, you didn't have a prior track record with this.
Did not.
But you were calling out to heaven.
Calling out.
God, I need blah, blah, blah. And then
calling out.
Your language totally changes.
Changed. Because I had to completely die to self and take on God's spirit, man. And just allow that spirit to dwell within me because I couldn't do it on my own.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I tried.
That's so heavy.
I tried and almost, and I tried to kill myself when my mom was in the hospital.
Really?
Because I tried to do it on my own.
Wow.
And then when I stopped trying to do it on my own because I knew I couldn't handle it, when I just let go of myself and allow God to come in and just take over, that's when that spirit just really kicked in. Mm. And I was just on, praying, speaking in tongues. Just doing everything I could, even though I knew this was the end, just for some way that God would work a miracle. Because I didn't see myself going through a Christmas without my mom at the time.
Yeah.
And then I was about to graduate college.
Yeah.
So this was before my graduation that she died. So I went without Christmas, without my mother, and I went on my college graduation without my mother. Mm. One of my teachers called me because he heard about what happened. I was just bawling, broken down, crying. But she wasn't there when I walked across that stage.
But that's the thing, man. Like, we talk about impact and influence in the culture. Right. Like, that's what I feel like as believers. Like, we need to stay in a heaven mindset where we need to see miraculous happen.
Correct.
Not as though, like, well, oh, this generation, all you do is respond to signs. No, I'm not talking about that. Mm-hmm. But we need to remember we are still following a supernatural God.
Absolutely.
Which, in all your understanding, you still cannot explain him.
Never, ever.
You cannot do it.
You can't.
And so when you try to put it in this box, or even a situation which you're talking about, they don't know that you are not the tongue-talking,
right,
super spiritual dude. You know what I mean? Prior to that, it's like, yo, like, this right. dude would have beat you over the head with a Bible.
Absolutely.
But it wasn't no praying, interceding, and prophetic words. That Absolutely. Was not happening.
Absolutely. That's when I really understood the importance of building a relationship with the Father.
Yeah.
And not just speaking on it or just studying and quoting scripture, but actually understanding the importance of building a relationship and making everything that he's been telling you applicable in your life. That's when I really understood what that meant.
Right. Speaking of holiday passings, I remember one of the, again, I've had these dips and flips in holiday seasons. The first holiday season that I had as a newly single dad, I was divorced, and that was probably a depressing one too.
Sure,
like, I was just like, yo, like we were battling at that time, and you know, I didn't have the kids. I had this little Christmas tree, but wasn't nobody at my house on Christmas morning.
Yeah, the Charlie Brown little Christmas tree.
It was like, this is the best you could do? Okay, cool.
Oh, gosh, really?
Because I had moved in maybe in October.
Okay.
Thanksgiving, I was just like bumming it, so I went to my man's house. And then by Christmas, I was like, yo, I had made it up in my mind. I was like, yo, I need this house to feel like a home before the year ends. Like, we got to stabilize. Like, we have to. So, in their bedrooms, it was a 3-bedroom. There wasn't a whole lot in there, but there was some mattresses. You know, there was some beds.
Sure.
There wasn't a whole lot in there.
That's good.
And then the living room, I don't even remember where I got this little tree from, dude. But I barely had some decorations on it. And I remember just sitting in the living room, and I cried because I was like, yo, man, this is not happy at all. Like, I'm not in hell, but I'm not in happy either. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that was 2013, obviously the year 2012.
You know, Christmas trees, when people put them up, you can actually tell the mood in the house by the Christmas tree.
That's so funny.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, that's so true.
Some houses you go into, the Christmas tree is not even decorated.
That's
like,
so
at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then you have some places where it's like all crazy and everybody's happy and stuff like that. But some places, they got little trees and fake trees, and then there's nothing done to them.
That's crazy.
Like, hey, Merry Christmas.
That's so funny.
You know what I mean?
But so 2014, was the 2014 into 15 is the year Jermone died.
Yeah. And yep.
That Thanksgiving, it was like I was literally trying to come out of this space because 2013 is when I moved in my place and it was a depressing Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then 2014, going into that year is when Jermone died. Yeah. And I remember that Thanksgiving. It was another, like, he was home at the time. And I remember we went all to his house and he looked, he had recently, might be a month or two ago, prior to Thanksgiving, yep. His cancer had came back. And he was like, all right, everybody was over the house.
Yeah, that was tough.
And they were praying. They're like, yo,
that was tough. Yeah.
You gonna make it, da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. And then he had a peak. He had a peak from like Thanksgiving on up to midway December. Mm-hmm. But then December, towards the end of the December, and he took a dip again. And it was just like, by January, he was gone. But I remember praying. We were all praying. Because I was like, yo, he's only, I don't know if he had turned 40 yet. If he hit 40, he was just hit 40.
Yeah.
Robert Connolly has just walked into the studio. And he is atrociously making major noise right here.
On purpose. Come on.
Move the microphone up, man. As I finish my story that you have.
Hey.
What is this? Are we back in Rando? What the heck's going on?
Clearly. So, yes, everyone. If you're just now tuning in, Robert Connolly just ended his meeting. And he's here now. So, praise the Lord.
Hooray.
Hey, praise God.
You can unloosen the bottom there, bro.
I did loosen the bottom.
No, you
didn't. It was the top. That
no, you pulled off the whole top.
I pulled things out.
Yeah. Oh, so we're actually wrapping up this episode.
All right.
You've just been quiet for the whole time.
Nah. I wanted to talk.
You could have just not said anything. You
know? That's great.
Yeah, but around that time was the when I was praying like you.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, I need God to show up because he was only barely 40 and on his way out.
Sure.
And that was like a critical pivotal point because I don't think anybody that close in our age bracket had died since Lamine.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, yo, this is real. So, you know, I needed heaven to respond. And in which, you know, he died. But again, there were people who were praying for him to resurrect and him to come back.
Yeah.
We were talking about the woman who prayed
for their
child to come back. What did you think about that situation?
Listen, what I loved about it is that it challenges us it challenges us to remind ourselves that we believe in a God who can do all things, and that, you know, he's a miracle working God, and I'm cool with that. I remember when we had the way I felt when your cousin passed away, when Jermone passed away, and I was in the hospital there, and that really affected me how he died. And I'm sitting there like, yo, I'm a believer in Christ, and I'm like, I believe Christ can resurrect anybody. And I was actually mad at myself that I wasn't able to be used by God at that moment to resurrect him right then and there. And we had another member of our church who also died here at Restoration, and Pastor Manny said he felt the same way. He actually just laid on top of the guy's body, praying that God would just resurrect this guy's body. So, I mean, you know, we don't know what God is going to do, but I love the fact that, you know, those individuals said, I'm going to let God use me to perform a miracle if he chooses.
Absolutely.
Even if it makes me look like an idiot to the world. So
dying to self completely, allowing God to just take over regardless of what the outcome is. That's what it's all about.
That's right. You know, because you never know. It could be that one time, okay, it actually happens.
Sure.
And what happens, you know, how many people will come to Christ because, you know, like something miraculous just happened and, you know, I can't deny it.
Right.
Okay. But, you know, that doesn't happen every time. But that, when it doesn't happen, doesn't mean that, okay, God's not working or God's not real.
Right. So. My wife, she told me about a friend of hers. I guess her son died on the hospital bed. And she prayed so much where she actually soiled herself, because that's how intense her prayer was. And I think a few minutes later, maybe 10 minutes later, he actually woke up.
Wow.
He woke up. He woke up.
So he died in her
presence? He died right there in the hospital bed. His mom. His mom was praying for him. And he died, but she was praying so hard to actually wind up waking up. Wow. He woke up on the hospital bed.
That's heavy.
Absolutely. That's big. That's a testimony right there. That's big time.
So Christmas miracles and, you know, supernatural is what we've been talking about today.
Yeah.
We do want to wish everybody a merry heavenly Christmas, if that's your thing. Is there something else that we can say to people who are like, I'm not into the Merry Christmas pagan-y stuff?
You know?
Happy
birthday, Jesus. Yeah. I'm sorry, that throws off a lot of people too.
Right, because
that's not his birthday.
It's not his thing.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. But that's all for the day, man. Quick little convo, quick little chat.
Yo.
Real men having real conversations, but from a kingdom point of view.
'Tis the season.
Catch you on the next one.
Happy holidays.
Catch you on a flippity flip.
Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Three Kings Podcast. Make sure to follow us on all social media platforms at Three Kings Podcast or visit us on the web at his3kings.com. Until next time, let a king be a king. Peace.